Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, Georgia, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline where the days are getting longer and warmer and summer is fully upon us. Winter was just here a while ago, and now we have summer. My goodness, we pretty much skipped spring, but c'est la vie. At any rate, we have a great show today planned, and I've got Stacy on the other line. Stacy, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Jack.
Wonderful. I see that Dr. McGee isn't with us yet, but I'm anticipating his arrival soon.
Okay.
While we are waiting, he is planning on being here with us, correct?
I haven't heard back from him today. I know
he was getting a treatment,
so.
All right.
And
we're going to start out on this subject, and here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about narcissism in politicians, how that differentiates between just people who are arrogant and conceited as versus true narcissism, and how you can kind of tell about that and what you can do about it, and where is the Lord in all of this, and how are we as believers to deal with it? I know that when President Obama was reelected, a friend of mine from Florida, who I've known my whole adult life, met through Campus Crusade. Clearly some of my best friends ever, and yet, you know, she had supported Barack Obama. And I think it's pretty obvious that I don't, and anybody who would need to know that, all you need to do is listen to the Monday program, which is Jack Watts Live, which is political. This is about recovery, but it's also about us dealing with life on life's terms. Well, at any rate, she called me just giddy that Obama had won, and said, how are you going to deal with things now that Obama is God's anointed one? And I was so mad.
Not bad.
It actually freaked me out. And I thought, okay, God raises up leaders and he puts them down. That's clearly stated in the scriptures. And we're supposed to pray for our leaders. At the same time, I don't see any way for me to pray for socialism to be acceptable, for Islam to be exalted, for Christianity to be cast aside and discriminated against in America. And all
nor Sharia law in our court system.
Well, and of course that certainly isn't something that would happen in our lifetime, I don't believe. And yet
it's already happening in New Jersey.
Well, there's some little spots, in Dearborn, Michigan, and a few others where the Muslims actually outnumber everybody else. But, they're very tolerant until they become the majority, and then they're not
right.
Tolerant at all,
Right.
But here's something. This is what brought this up for me. Saturday in the Rose Garden, this Bob Bird doll came out for this great victory speech that, you know, they had given up the Taliban 5 to get back Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, and the senior Bergdahl, sporting a Muslim beard, got up there and, you know, to kind of talk about welcoming his son back after, you know, being captured and essentially called a prisoner of war for 5 years. And he said, you know, in the name of the great and benevolent Allah, in Arabic. Now, when he did so, President Obama was standing there, and he smiled. He knew what that meant.
Yeah.
You don't know what that means. I'll bet money on it. It isn't the words. What it is it claims the ground for Allah, the White House for Allah. That is what that prayer said, and our president knows it, and he smiled at it. I've got a problem with that.
Me too.
I got a big problem with that. I've even got a bigger problem that there are so few people who actually know this. Very few people know this. But they need to know it. And they need to think strategically. Now, what are we to do as believers? Are we supposed to just say, well, you know, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to let the Lord just take care of it? Or are we called to stand politically against, and any other way, against this kind of tyranny and encroachment of unspeakable evil? Now, you know, they talk all the time about how the Republicans have a war on women. And this war on women, you know, is because, you know, Republicans are, you know, against abortion and paying for other people's contraceptives. Those are the two biggies. While at the same time, there are others who are championing Islam, where women are killed, murdered, stoned to death frequently, routinely.
For no reason.
Trumped up charges. Yeah. I don't get it.
And little girls have their noses taken off and their ears chopped off. That was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
I don't get it either, Jack.
And, you know, the great champion is, you know, Hillary Clinton, whose husband is a sexual predator.
Yeah.
He was impeached for it, but not convicted. The
yeah.
thing with Monica Lewinsky. Essentially, using a girl, an intern, for sex in the Oval Office, which I can remember, you know, we used to refer to as the Oral Office, and
yeah.
you know, to make little funnies. But it isn't funny.
Now,
nor is this stuff about Islam in the White House. And I see this thing that happened in these last few days where these Taliban 5, you know, was taken from Gitmo, where they're guilty of mass murder, all of them, mass murder, and set free so that we could get back one soldier that Susan Rice on the Sunday morning talk shows said served with honor and distinction. And we're finding out that that's a lie. I mean, you know, if Obama wants somebody to lie, he just sends out Susan Rice, and she just says whatever wants her to say. And she's the national security advisor to the United States of America, to our president?
It's scary.
Lord help us, is that scary? I mean, I don't get it. And in all of this, we've got, there are millions of believers in America who are strong in their conviction, in their faith, who are wise, and yet this has come about. What is our role as Christians in a society that is being led full throttle down the path of destruction, where Christians are certain to be persecuted? What do you think? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get how all of this can work. And you know, I think that you know, people have lost their way. They don't know what they believe, and they turn around and say, "Well, who are we to judge?" That seems to be the answer to everything in American society. Who are we to judge?
It's up to us as Americans to judge. It's up to our politicians to remember that we are the ones who put them in office. They're to do what we tell them to do. They are civil servants. And the whole thing has gotten turned topsy-turvy. And, you know, Jack, the only thing that I can really say with conviction, because I am a true patriot, grieves my heart every day to see these things happening to the country that I love. The only thing that I can get out of it is the Bible tells us that these things are going to happen before Jesus comes.
Now, here's another thing. I think, and this is what I really believe, because the prevailing prophetic message is what they call dispensational, pre-tribulational, premillennial rapturism, which for people who are listening and don't know what that means, it's a, you know, Christ is going to come and everything's going to fall apart before he does. So in the worldview of current Christians in America, for things to look bad and be bad is actually a positive sign to them, and that's just nonsense. That's not the way it's supposed to be, nor are we supposed to be lukewarm and passive in the face of evil, and that is what we have become.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to just give a little plug here for a second. I wrote a book called We Believe, 30 Days to Understanding Our Heritage, and in it, go back and I take some of the key documents, explain them historically, but put the documents in there and then tell people about them in very short little bite-sized pieces so that in 30 days, 10 minutes a day, you can understand the core values that made America great. Now, we don't sell many of them, because we don't push it, to be honest with you. But it can be found on our website. And what is that website, Stacy? And
it's www.mcgeeandme.net. And it's all spelled out, lowercase letters, mcgeeandme. .net. And the phone number is 800-460-4673.
And just everybody to know that, I mean, we have programs to help people with you know, drug addiction, codependency, family issues, overeating, all kinds of stuff. And all of those are on the on that website. But at any rate, you know, I wanted to just talk about this a little bit because I think that we're at a real significant turning point in our nation, and people say this all the time. But I think that this is a time of lawlessness that we have not ever seen before, and
And laziness. What is the statistic? 60% of all people are on public assistance of some sort. And Nancy Pelosi is sowing these dreams of quit your job. Go seek your dreams. We have to live.
Well,
we have to take care of our own. Our old people are being put out to pasture and not being cared for properly medically. It's just awful.
Now, that 60% number, that includes people who are getting Social Security checks who paid into the system. So that's not really public assistance. And that's
right. About
half that number. So it's not quite as bad, but it is bad and getting worse. I mean, before George Bush was president, there were, maybe 15 or 18 million people that got food stamps. Then it went up to about 26. Now it's 50 million under Obama. So
Lord,
Bush didn't do us a whole lot of favors, and Obama has been downright terrible. But all of this is just part of the lawlessness that seems to be dominating our land. And it's kind of come to a head here. Honestly, I think that they thought that they could get this kid back from the Middle East, Bird Doll, let go of the people, of the Taliban leaders, which would, please the radical left who want to close down Gitmo, and everybody would be okay with it. Boy, that was a mistake. They thought it would take the news off of what was happening with the VA scandal, which it has done. But they did not anticipate that this would be more damning to Obama than the VA. It's easier to understand to begin with because so many people have been soldiers.
Exactly.
Everybody can understand that 6 people died trying to find this guy, and he was a deserter. And for Susan Rice to say that he served with honor and distinction, it's a lot. While he was captive, he went from private to sergeant. And he wasn't a captive. He was a deserter. So we got one deserter for 5 mass murderers, and Obama was supposed to tell Congress about it, and he didn't, which is a violation of a law that he signed into law a year ago.
Well, Jack, it just goes to show how duplicitous we get example after example after example of how duplicitous he is, and it's this way today, and it'll be something else tomorrow. It's what he wants.
Well,
he has circumvented Congress time after time after time.
Bad stuff. Not good. Not healthy. Bad stuff. And we, as a people, are being force-fed lawlessness. When we were in school as kids, in social studies, the very first thing that we were taught is that we are a nation of laws and not of men. Now, when our whole value system is being undermined like this, it's not healthy. And little kids don't have that original sense of right and wrong. not like we were taught. They aren't given, they aren't allowed to be patriotic like we were.
Every
they
day that I went to school as a child, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we said the Lord's Prayer. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. I get it. I get it. Well, what are we to do as believers with this? I know what my answer is. I'm just going to tell people what I, you know, what I think. I cannot sit by and idly let this nation slip away saying my piece, knowing that the pen is greater than the sword. I write about this stuff every day, and do so because I love my nation, and I want to see us return to the greatness that once was ours. There are still huge numbers of people that want this, and it is my belief that as greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
Amen.
We have the Lord and Almighty God as forces for light and righteousness. And it's time for us to stand and be counted for that and not apologize to these wackos who just do nothing but belittle and humiliate us and laugh at us and mock because they are unbelievers. Well, blessed is he who does not stand, walk, or sit with mockers.
Amen.
We have a nation of mockers, and that Amen. Is not who the Lord has called us to be.
No. No, it's not.
No. No. In my estimation,
you and I come from the age of demonstrations. We're from the 60s. Where are our patriots? Why are we not organizing and we not marching and
well,
we
you know,
not standing up?
You know, there were a bunch of them that did it, and then, you know, there was a massive frontal assault by the IRS and other governmental agencies to repress and to harass and to do everything they could to make sure that the impact of patriotic people was lessened. And to a large extent, that's been successful. But it won't be forever. And no matter what, it's still true. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. They aren't equals.
That's right.
Satanic forces and systematic evil, they're not omniscient. I don't care how many phone calls the NSA listens to or gathers information or whatever. They're not omniscient. There's only one entity that's omniscient, and that is Almighty God.
That's right. And God just needs it. He just needs a handful of people. And the Bible is a history book, did with just a few who had hearts towards him.
And those who were obedient and willing to stand.
Yes.
And that.
Look
that
at
is,
David fighting Saul.
And that is absolutely, well, or Goliath. And that is absolutely what we are called to do. To stand in the breaches, to rebuild the walls, and this is what we are called to do, period. There is no alternative. And, you know, we talk about about so many other things, and, you know, relational things for people in their, you know, in their marriages, with their kids, and, you know, and dealing with family dysfunction and with addictions and stuff like that. All of it is so necessary. It's also necessary to know who you are in Christ and to say, no, not submit. I will not bow my knee. I will not do any of the things that are contrary to what I know to be right, true, just, and honorable.
Amen.
That others choose to do this and to cast aspersions on us for being who we are, let them. In the end, we'll see who prevails.
That's right.
That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. Folks, I want to thank you so much for listening. You know, we enjoy these programs and hope that you continue to listen to us. And so let me just say, you know, thank you, Stacy, and to those who are listening, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Goodbye.
Goodbye.